this last week. Please listen to it. I don't have time to get into all the teaching this, but it's going to help you understand today. All right? If you missed last week, I'm going to give you a quick review to help you, but you're going to... It'd be best if you go back, watch last week, so either through Facebook or through our website, so you understand all this coming together. So what happened last week, what we looked at, is they were coming to a place here where they were partaking of what was known as the love feast. The love feast was a time that they would get together, and it was supposed to be a time of uniting them together. Then at the end of the love feast, they would have the Lord's Supper. And what was happening is they were partaking of the Lord's Supper in their own way. We haven't got that far yet. But they were partaking of this, and they were turning this love feast that would have gone hand in hand with the Lord's Supper into something that it shouldn't have been. And then it even uses the word division. That means there were those that were bickering and complaining, and there was problems happening, and it should have been a time that they came together, fellowshiped together, united their hearts together, and were focused on the Lord, and went right into the Lord's Supper. And this is the issue that's being addressed. We talked about the perversion, verses 18 through verse 22. Let me just read verse 17 for you. It says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that he come together, not for the better, but for the worse." Remember, we talked about the better and the worse. And we talked about, hey, this was supposed to help you, and you allowed it to hinder you. This was supposed to bring the church together, but you allow it to cause problems in the church, not to help the church. And then in verses 18 and verse 22 that we looked at last week, we didn't get through all this, but what it is basically saying, verse 18, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." He says, "I believe that there's divisions. I believe there's problems." And he says, "I can't praise you because of this." And then it talked about the heresies in verse 19. And then verse 20, it says, "When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." And this is where we're going to pick up verse 20. We're going to get verse 20, verse 23 this morning. Maybe further, it depends how things progress this morning. But this is part two of the message, taking something special and turning it into the mess. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we ask that you just illuminate your scriptures to us this morning. And Lord, show us the truths that you want us to glean. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Look with me again in verse number 20. "When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." So we're talking about the perversion that's given in. They took something that should have been unifying, and they caused division. Now we see what they do. Something that should have kept our focus on the Lord, put the focus on their bellies. All right? It is interesting when we partake of certain things, there are some things that are good to do, and we should be doing those, but we have changed the focus upon them, and we've taken something that should be special in a mess. Now look at this. In verse 20, it tells us something. That they came not into the one place. So that means they came together into the one place. They came together in that called out assembly. They came together into that church. Remember that this is talking to the church at Corinth. They came together in this one place not to, and there's a word there, eat the Lord's Supper. Now, I want us to understand, they came for the love feast. Then the love feast was supposed to come into the Lord's Supper. They were already supposed to have that fellowship, that food, and then partake of the Lord's Supper. And he's saying, you've come into this to not eat the Lord's Supper. You're not here to eat the Lord's Supper. I want to teach on this for a moment. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we're not going to get in probably the Lord's Supper and all the elements today. We will eventually. But the purpose of the Lord's Supper is not to get your bellies full. Because later on in this chapter, it talks about that as well again. And so you're not to eat the Lord's Supper. What he's saying is, you're not coming here to make a meal out of the Lord's Supper. That's not the reason that you come together in this one place. Do you know when we have the Lord's Supper, it's not for you to eat a meal, to get your belly filled. You know, some people say, why do we only have one little wafer? And why do we have only one little thing of juice? Because it's not to eat. You're not coming to eat. You're coming to focus on the Lord. You're coming for this purpose and this reason. So what they're doing in 1 Corinthians 11, we looked at 17 to, up to verse 20. They made this a perversion. They took something that should have been good and turned it into bad. They something that should be unified and made it disunity. But they took something that should have put their focus on God and made the focus about themselves. Do you know what we've done in our churches today? Now, I know the interpretation is talking about the Lord's Supper, and it's talking about the love feast, and it's talking about the things here. But you know the application is this. You know what we've done in our churches today? We've made it about ourselves instead of about focus upon God. Well, they're not to come and eat of the Lord's Supper. Do you know we come to church, and you know what we want? We want it to be about us and making ourselves satisfied. And getting what all we can get out of church. And it's about ourselves. That's why we get upset if someone doesn't shake our hand, or someone doesn't talk to us, or someone doesn't do the things. Why? Because we're coming for the wrong reason. We have the wrong focus. It's not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, later on, he's going to say it's to partake of the Lord's Supper. And there's a reason and purpose of what the Lord's Supper is. But the reason you come is not to get your bellies full. The reason you come is to focus and to worship God. The reason you and I come to church is not so we can get the pat on the backs and get an emotional high. The reason we come to church is so we can worship God both in spirit and in truth. That's why we come. And we've got our focuses all messed up in our lives because we're focusing on ourselves, we're focusing on our emotions, we're focusing on our feelings, we're focused on that instead of focusing on God. And what we've done is we've taken something that should be good, something that should be helpful, and it's created division and problems. You know what's happened in our churches? I come here for myself, and that's why I get hurt by another church member. I come for myself, and that's why I never come back, because someone did something to me. Or I don't go to this service, or I don't go to this fellowship, I don't go to this thing because I have to sit by that person or see that person, and that person's done this thing. You know, you've come for the wrong reason. Because if it's truly worshiping God, I don't care if what Brother Rick did to me. It's not going to matter to me, because I'm not here for Brother Rick. I'm not here even for myself in that point of doing it for myself. I'm here so I can have that time to worship God both in spirit and truth. My focus is not on Brother Rick and what Brother Rick did to me. My focus ought to be on God and worshiping God and pleasing God with my life. See, we've come for the wrong reason. We've taken something special and turned it into a mess. And what he's saying here is, you don't come to eat the Lord's Supper. You don't come for that purpose. The supper, the love feast is one thing. But the supper is not to make you full. Now look at verse 21. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. He says, what has happened is, you have this love feast that goes before the Lord's Supper, and it's supposed to keep your focus on God and lead you up to the Lord's Supper, but you are so worried about what you're doing and what you're going to eat, and who cares about this other person, and you don't even focus on love, you're focusing on self, and as you're focused on self, then you just get to this place in your life that you're just going to do what you want to do. That's what he's saying there. And you, one is hungry, one is drunken, one has nothing, one has everything, and everyone's caring about themselves, and, oh, woe is me, I didn't get what I needed. Oh, I have everything I need. And all the focus is on this. And he's saying, wait a second, That's not the purpose of this. That's not the purpose. Let's give another illustration of this in 1 Corinthians 11. What is he telling us? We come and we start looking and saying, well, I have this, that person doesn't have that, and I don't care about that person. And then the person that has nothing looks at the person that has everything and says, well, you know what? They have everything. And we start allowing that to create issues in our lives because we say, well, why is God blessing them? Why is God not blessing me? Why is this happening? Why is that not happening? And we're coming together. But wait a second. The purpose of this, what Paul was telling the church of Corinth, the purpose of this is you were to come together to unite. The perversion is taking place because there's division that's happened. Now your focus is messed up because now you're worried about yourself instead of worrying about God. And then you're not even seeing other brothers and sisters in Christ in need. You're just seeing yourself and you're lifting yourself up. Or if you're the one in need, you're complaining about the person that has everything. Instead of saying this is the reason we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to be able to come together and worship to God together as a church, as a called out assembly. You know, there's a way that we can come from all types of walks of life, all types of different philosophies and backgrounds and baggage, and be able to come together as a church and have unity in a church. Now, I want to tell you, the way I think is far different than the way some people in this church think. I'm glad I don't think like Sister Sarah. I love Sister Sarah, but I don't understand anyone that can be late as much as Sister Sarah is late. I love her with all my heart, and I understand. But let me tell you, those that know me, I got to be 45 minutes an hour early for everything, or I'm late. So I couldn't imagine getting there just on time or a couple minutes there. I can't do that. I mean, I tell you, I'm glad my kids take after me. My kids love to be at school almost a half hour before school starts. I love that. They would be there early if the school allowed them to be earlier. That's a wonderful thing. We all have differences. You know, I look at Brother Rich. I'm glad I don't think like Brother Rich. I mean, at least he admits it, right? But the idea is this. We can come from all different backgrounds, all different ways of doing things, and there can be unity because I'm focused on God. I'm not focused on the differences. I'm not focused on trying to lift myself up, think I'm better than that person, and saying this and that. No, we come for the purpose of what? Unity and fellowship and worshiping God. That's what it's about. You see, we miss the boat because we come to church thinking it's for us. And what I want, my agenda, and what I want to be able to get. He says, wait a second. Everyone's worried about if they're eating, not eating, if they're doing this or that, if some people have everything, if some people don't have everything. That's not the focus. He says, why are you focused on something that doesn't matter in the church? Because look at verse 22. Verse 22 goes a step further. See, he's talking about the perversion we talked about last week. He's talking about now the focus. But he's talking about, look at what you are supposed to be doing. You know, here's the thing. You say this. God says this. You see, the problem, they took something and turned it into a mess. They were looking at it from their view instead of God's view. So it's not just focusing on God. Now it's looking from God's view, not our view. We got to have the right focus. We got to realize there's perversion. Perversion comes when there's division that comes. Then we have to realize I have to focus on God. But now I have to look at things from God's perspective, not my perspective. Looking at things through God's eyes, if you will. Through his perspective. Look at verse 22. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord. Now stop there. He says, don't you have your houses to eat? So the reason you come even for the love feast, the reason you even come for the Lord's Supper, is not to eat. It's to fellowship and to worship God. We come to church to fellowship and worship God. You have your church, you have your homes to eat, is what he's saying. You have your homes to take care of getting your bellies full. You have that. And by you turning the house of God into a place to get your bellies full, you have despised. Now look at there. There's that word there. You have despised the church of God. That means you have made the church of God a mess. You have despised it. You've brought harm to it. You have ruined the testimony of it. Because what was happening in the community of Corinth is that church of Corinth was known as a church that was a mess. Because it was the talk of the town, if you will. That church, all they do is get together and all they want to do is fill their bellies. All they want to do is take care of themselves. There's so much problems in that church. Oh, that Apostle Paul was there for 18 months and look at the mess of that church. Now they have the other pastors there, and look at them. They're a mess. They can't even get along. They can't even do their ordinances. They can't do the things they're supposed to be doing because they're worrying about themselves instead of worrying about what they ought to be doing. It was ruining the name of God, God's church, and it was putting a black eye, if you will, on something that should have been a lighthouse in the community. You know what happens when we don't see things from God's point of view? When we look at ourselves? We put a black eye in the name of God. What happens when people in the community hear about fights in the church? I mean, praise the Lord, in 21 years, we've never had this. But I have friends that pastor churches where they have a church, and I don't even like business meetings. I said this last time, I like church family meetings, because we're a family. But when they have a church business meeting, a church family meeting, there's a good old family fighting going on. Where so-and-so jumps up and screams at so-and-so. And so-and-so jumps up and screams at so-and-so. And then they go and work and they tell how this happened in the church. Let me ask you, did that bring unity? No, it's perversion. Were they focused on themselves? No. Were they focused on God? No. They were focused on themselves. Number three, they weren't seeing things from God's point of view. They were seeing things from their point of view. And that creates the issues and the problems. And then it puts a black eye on the church and the name of our God. And people look at the community and look at the church and say, what's going on? But then it says, you've done those things. You despise the church of God. You've done this. But here's the contrast. This is what you've turned it into. But now let's look at what the Lord wants. You see, this is what has happened in our churches today, in New Testament local call-out assemblies. You know what's happened today? We have taken something that should have been special, and we made it a mess. Do you know God gave the local church for a reason and for a purpose? Do you understand that a church is not a building? And I've stressed this many times. But we represent the church by what? Gathering together. What is a church? A church is when a group of believers of like faith and practice come together to worship together. And it's an institution that God established during his earthly ministry. The church was established during the earthly ministry of Jesus. It was empowered as we know it, at the day of Pentecost. But the birth of the church started during the earthly ministry of Jesus. How was this established? Why was it established during that time? Christ established it. That's where he gave the ordinances. Who did he give the ordinance to? The local church. That's why it took place during this time, the birth of it. When was the church discipline given? It was given during this time as he established the church. The deacons and all that was given. When was that given? And different things. The purpose was what? The church was established. The called out assembly. That's why it tells us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. And we're to come together as an assembly, as a gathering, as a group of believers to come together for the purpose of edifying and worshiping God. That's what God established. The purpose of the love feast and the purpose of the Lord's Supper was turned into a mess because they were looking at it from their perspective, not God's perspective. What has our world turned the church into today? The world's turned the church into a social club. Do you know there's nothing wrong with fellowship in a church? But that ought to be the main purpose of the church. There's nothing wrong with us having meals like we have meals. But that ought not to be the main purpose of the church. There's nothing wrong with having programs to reach out into the community. And some churches have food banks. Some churches have different soup kitchens and certain things. That's wonderful. That's great. But let me tell you, that ought not to be the main focus of the church. The main focus, and you know there's churches that do that and then don't preach the gospel anymore. The churches that do that, and they negate what they're supposed to be doing. What is the purpose of the church? We gather together. We're edifying one another, build one another up to glorify God, and then go out and share the gospel. And what they were doing is looking at it from their perspective. I come to church because it's a social gathering. I'm glad I can come and, oh man, I'm glad we can fellowship. I'm glad we can have fun in church. I'm glad we can talk to one another. We all need it. But let me tell you, when we start a service and we start singing and we start preaching and we start reading the Bible, where should our focus be? On God and on the songs and on the preaching and on the scripture being read. But we come and go, oh, we just want to get through that so we can have more fellowship. We can gather more and have that. Wait a second. This ought to be the main purpose that you're here. It's to be fed from God's word. It's to get those truths and to glean those truths and to hear the word of God. That's a purpose. Now look at verse 23. Because this is where he's saying, this is your focus, what your focus was. That was your perspective. But now here's what your perspective ought to be. For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you. He's saying, what I'm going to give you, and this is the next point I want us to get, the authority that he gives this. Because a lot of times when we receive correction, how many of us question the authority of the correction that's coming from? You see, what Paul did is this. He gives them where the mess is. Now he wants them to change perspective. He wants them to see this is coming from the Lord. And the reason he wants them to see it's coming from the Lord is because he wants them to know what authority he says what he says. Because he's not saying, Paul says, now he says, I'm delivering this to you. That means I'm taking what I am given and giving to you. This is how it works. As an individual studies God's word, prepares to preach or teach or give a message, whatever you want to call it, if a person's really prayed up, studied up, and that the message is coming from where? The Lord. And the person giving the message is delivering God's message. Paul is saying this. The perspective is this. My authority I'm giving to you is not I'm just giving you what I think, but I'm giving you what God says. Now, it's interesting, if those have been here in our study of 1 Corinthians, there's times that Paul says, all right, the Lord said this, and I'm going to add on to this. Remember, we looked at that? He goes, I'm going to explain this better to you, but this is what the Lord says I'm going to explain. But this, he's saying, this is directly from God. I'm not adding anything to it. I'm just giving you straight how God says it. And this is the authority that is given. When we get correction, we want to know the authority it's coming from. If you got in trouble at work and another employee said that, you kind of look at him and go, well, you're just another employee. Doesn't really matter what you say. But when the commissioner comes to you, right, Brother Dick? When the commissioner comes to you and tells you you messed up, that has a little more authority, right, than another employee that doesn't know what he's doing tells you that. That's the idea here. Paul is saying, I'm not just coming to you as a former pastor. I'm not just coming to you as an apostle. I'm coming to you as a messenger of God to tell you this is where you're messed up. Because this is what God wants, and you're not doing it God's way. I want to say this morning, with all love this morning. I think we, and I say we, in general, as believers today, have messed up. And I think we need to hear from God this morning. I think we need to hear from God in our lives this morning. I think the message must be delivered to us this morning that we got to start looking things through God's eyes, not through our own eyes. I believe we as a church today, and I mean Call Out Assembly, and I mean New Testament local churches just like this, we need to be woken up and realize we have messed up and see the authority that comes from. And Paul's calling them on the carpet, and Paul's saying to them, this is where you've messed up, this is where you've gone the wrong way, and now this is the results that it causes. You ever realize when you mess up, there's results that come along with it? And you know what Paul was saying? He's saying, Church at Corinth, I love you. And I want the best of you. I want you to be a church God wants for you. And here's where you messed up. And this is the authority I'm basing upon. This is what's going on. These are the consequences. But you have an opportunity to change it. And get back on the right direction, right path. Church, I believe many times in our lives, we mess up. Correction comes as we read the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God preached, as we have time in prayer, correction comes. And that correction comes from the Lord. And as that correction comes from the Lord, we see the results of what it's going to cause. And we can't always change the circumstances or the consequences, but we can change the direction we're going. He says, what I'm going to deliver you comes from the Lord. And the Lord gave this direction. He gave this direction of what the Lord's Supper is. He says, for I received the Lord that which also I deliver unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So this is the message that comes from the Lord in regards to what we refer to as the Lord's Supper. Now, I want to give some thoughts, some teaching here. We're not going to get into the actual Lord's Supper this week. We will get into it next week. But I want to give some teachings here. To the point of Jesus in the upper room, they partook of something called the Passover, and that were also as the Passover meal. All right? Many will ask, Why don't we do the Passover today? Why don't we do the Passover meal today? And there is much discussion in our world today. If you look at commentaries, you look online, you look at different things. What did the Lord's Supper replace? The Passover meal? Should a believer in Christ do both the Passover meal, and the Lord's Supper? Why don't we partake of that? Why do we do it? Some people still just partake of the Passover. They don't partake of the Lord's Supper. Are they one? Are they the same? Are they different? Did one replace the other? So let's give some teaching on this to help you understand. What was the purpose of the Passover in the Old Testament? Now remember, what was the original Passover? When they did, what did they do? They put blood around the what? The doors. And then when the death angel would go over, and that was the thing. Also, the Passover was represent what? From them getting out of the bondage of Egypt and coming into the promised land. All right? Then the Passover is also what to look what? Forward. All right? To look forward to Christ. That was the purpose of the Passover, to look forward to Christ and that. When they partook, even after the original Passovers and the idea there, and they did the Passover meal, they would have the Passover week, and they would do the certain traditions and things that they did, every part of that was to look forward to Christ. They would have three cups. Remember, we talked about that a little before when we talked about the cup of blessings. But they would have three different cups, and there was the cup of the blessing, and we talked about what that means. And they would partake of these, leading up and picturing the Messiah that was going to come and the Messiah that was going to die. Now, when this happens, they were looking forward to it. Now, when Christ, the same night, and we'll get into this next week about that whole thing, but the same night he was betrayed, instituted what we refer to as the Lord's Supper. Now let me ask you, why do we refer to it as the Lord's Supper? We refer to it as the Lord's Supper to distinguish between this and what was referred to as the Passover. Up to this point, they were partaking of the Passover. Then the Lord took that, which would have been the third cup, and instituted this as the Lord's Supper. Up to this point, this was something to look forward to Christ and what Christ is going to do. Now he says this, and we'll get into this in the weeks to come. It says, do this in remembrance of me. So now we are going from looking forward to that we're turning back and looking back to what Christ did on the cross. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And it's referred to as the Lord's Supper to help us distinguish between the two, but it was what the Lord instituted. That's why we call it the Lord's Supper. The Lord gave this. This is why Paul says, what I'm declaring to you comes from the Lord. The Lord is instituting this, what we refer to as the Lord's Supper or communion, what we refer to. This is this purpose. This is what is happening. The Lord's given you this, and this is the Lord's. This is not, and by doing this, it's saying this is not the church's, it's the Lord's. This is not you as individuals to do as you please with it. This is coming from God. That's why there are certain requirements that we're going to get into. There's certain requirements of who partakes of it. There's certain requirements of what elements that are to be used. It's certain requirements because it is the Lord's Supper, not ours. And this is what the Lord gives. So going back to the Passover. The Passover looks forward to, the Lord's Supper looks back to. Now, in a sense, they're one of the same to a point. Because both of them are to focus on what? On the Lord. But we no longer have to do sacrifices all the time. We no longer have to put blood on the doorposts. We no longer have to take an animal and sacrifice an animal. Now, some of you might want to sacrifice your kid. That's a different story. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. Why? Because who was the perfect Lamb of God without spot, without blemish? It was Jesus Christ. He is sacrificed. How many times does he have to be sacrificed? Once and only once. And because he was sacrificed once and only once, we don't have to continue doing that. Now, if someone partakes of the Passover and they want to focus that way and use some of that, those elements and use some of the things, there's nothing wrong with it, but you don't have to do that because that is in the Old Testament looking forward to it. But what we are commanded to do is to take what we refer to as the Lord's Supper and do in remembrance of him the focus on his death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross of Calvary. We're to focus on that. Now, there are some good people. Those that have been to Israel. We used to use a company called Yad Hashmonah. And they are Messianic Jews. They partake and they do the Passover. But they also do the Lord's Supper. And I actually reached out through email to verify some things, because I knew they did things and I wanted to get their thoughts on some of this. And what they do is, even the way they do the Passover, and they mainly do it because they don't want to be a stumbling block in that area of that, but even the way they partake of it is a little different than the way that a regular Jew would partake of it, because they know the promised Messiah has already come. And so this is the whole idea of what is taking place here. And then Jesus says this, Paul says this is coming from the Lord, and the Lord's giving you this, and the Lord's giving you the direction. This is what's supposed to happen. Now, if you know someone that takes to the Passover, they're not wicked, terrible people, okay? They're not. But just because you don't partake of the Passover doesn't mean you're wicked, terrible people either, right? Because what we are given is the Lord's Supper. And this gives the idea of where the focus ought to be, is on what the Lord has done for us. And we'll get into that later on, what it says, do in remembrance of me. Now, the same night he was betrayed, Jesus was in the upper room, and he took the third cup of blessing, and he instituted this Lord's Supper. Because what Paul's saying, I'm going to tell you what God has said about what you're partaking of. Now, why did he have to correct them? He had to correct them because they were messing up. And he says, I want to give you the authority that I'm going to give you. And it comes from the Lord. The Lord gave this the night he was betrayed. And this is the purpose of what you're doing. But you're not doing it for the right purpose. In conclusion today, and I don't usually say in conclusion, but did you catch that? In conclusion today, I want you to think about this. The Lord gives us clear direction in our lives. And we have to realize, even though we think we're doing it right, if God says this is not the way it ought to be done, then we need to change it. Do you know there's some things in churches sometimes that we got to re-examine and look and say, maybe we're not doing it the right way? I tell you, in 21 years of being here, there's some things we've changed throughout the years a little bit. Because there's some things that was done, not saying the person was terrible or anyone was terrible that did things, but there are some things that didn't follow what the Bible says. There's some things that I even did in the beginning. Tina, you won't believe this. There's even things I did in the beginning that I had to look and say, wow, is this really the way the Lord wants us to do it? Or is there ways that we should be doing this differently coming from God's word? Do you know, even in our own Christian life, there's some things that you might be doing for 30 years. And maybe you need to say, "What? Wait, is this what the Lord wants? Is this what the Lord says I'm supposed to be doing?" And there's some people that after 30, 40 years of doing a certain thing in their life or certain ways of life, say, wait a second, that's not of the Lord. That's not the instruction the Lord's giving. And we need to look and say, okay, I need to change it. I need to change what I'm doing. And Paul was just saying, church, you've taken something good, made it a mess, but let me tell you what the Lord instituted and how the Lord instituted it and what the purpose of it was. And you compare, because that's why he even says, but let man examine himself. You compare the way you're doing it with the way God's doing it. And I ask this morning, take what you're doing and compare it to what the Lord says and see if it lines up. And if it doesn't line up, change what you're doing to match what the Lord says to do in your lives. Heavenly Father,